Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go. And a wonderful finish. Listen, when they tied it up at two, I thought, well, that's it. There, here we go again.
How are you going to score?
There's no way to score.
That's all I thought is, God, can this bullpen hang on for nine more innings so the Astros can get a run?
No way. No way can you score. No way can you hold them after you score. There was, I mean, talk about, listen, Jason Alexander, again?
Dude, this is, I'm just going to say it. All of you are afraid to say it. Jason Alexander is the second coming of Greg Maddux. Well, I said it. He pitches the contact.
Well,
he's got a sinking. He's got a
you
hard
think we're
sinking.
All thinking that?
He's got late moving stuff. This is as close as we've seen to Greg Maddux over the last decade.
Wow.
Okay. Everyone is afraid to say it, but I'll say it.
No. I don't think anyone's afraid to say it. I think you're the only one that thought of that.
I know. Well,
you're
welcome.
You may be the only person that thought of that.
Let's go take a look at how Jason Alexander has pitched.
Okay.
Shall we?
All right.
Because
where's his? Okay, what's his ERA after this game?
It's probably in the ones. Is it in the ones? Oh, 4.19. How's that possible?
Yeah, because he sucked at first. That's why.
When was it first? You know, when the last time he gave up more than three runs? That would be July 24th.
Yeah, one of his first.
Since then, 4 2/3, 2 earned runs, 6 innings, no earned runs, 6 innings, no earned runs,
right.
6 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 1/3, 2 earned runs, 5 2/3, 3 earned runs, 5 innings, 3 runs, 7 innings, no earned runs. Those are his last freaking.
And that's Toronto.
That's one. Yeah, that's 8 starts in a row where he's given up 3 runs or less. 8 starts in a row. And only one of those did he not go 5 innings.
What's Dell playing?
There goes my hero. He's just playing some Foo Fighters for you. There goes my hero, Jason Alexander. He's all of our heroes. Well, we know what the playoff rotation looks like.
Hey, I don't think it's
Hunter Brown, Jason Alexander, and then figure it out.
I don't think it's crazy. I really don't think it's crazy.
It's not going to happen, but it's not crazy.
It's not going to happen, but
it's not
going to
happen, but it's not crazy.
Well, you're going to be in a wild card where you got to get 2 wins. Okay, honestly.
Wait, do you understand that they've won every game he's pitched in, 4, 6, they've won eight, oh my gosh, 10 of his last 11, 10 of his last 11 games. Well, he didn't start. Did he start in a Dodger game? No, he didn't start in a Dodger game. But in his last nine
starts, games he's pitched in,
he's
anyway.
Won 8 of his last 9 starts. They have won, like you just mentioned, like, oh my gosh, an extraordinary number, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of his last 12 games, 10 of his last 11 games he's pitched in has been a win. Worst case scenario is he's good luck. Best case scenario is Greg Maddux 2.0.
I mean.
And I'm the person, and look, it's weird for a guy
crazy.
Who's
okay.
32, now that I look at his age, and he does look this old, 32.
Yeah.
It's weird to blossom into Greg Maddux at age 32, but sometimes you just find a different grip on the ball, and that's what happens.
You know, take his 9-run, 2 1/3, 9 earned runs against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Back in June, his only appearance in June, you take that out of the equation.
Yeah, actually, that's the only. You're right. Well, that and there was a Mets game where he gave up 3 earned runs in an inning and 2/3.
Yeah, third and one in an inning and 2/3. He gave up 3 runs. Take that, but just take that nine earned runs out.
Okay.
And take two and a third out of his total.
That's 64 and a third innings. And then we'll take out the nine earned runs out of his 31. So 22 earned runs and 64 and a third. Oh, my gosh.
Enough with the numbers. Enough.
But he's been... And he gave up a wait, and he gave up a five spot against the. I mean, he's basically had three bad outings. He's basically had three bad outings. Otto, 4, 5, 8, 13, 15. 3 out of 15. 12 good outings out of his 15 outings. Yep. And his last bad outing was, it was the 24th of July.
Mm-hmm.
That was his last bad outing. Mm-hmm. Dude has been really, really good.
Really good. And no jokes, like the late movement and sink on his pitches, he gets a lot. He gets a late tail on his pitch that can eat up the backdoor, the little backdoor tail on his fastball. He's got a little sinker. He got a two-strike count on, who was it there in the seventh inning? He was 0-2, and all he did was try to nibble on the outer portion with his pitches. And he was off by a little bit, but it showed an understanding of how to attack the zone, how to attack the hitter. Dude, the ball dives at the end, causing a lot of ground balls, a lot of hitters to roll over the top of the ball. Ground balls. Great. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Pena was busy last night, and he did a great job. Christian Walker with a great scoop on that throw on the third out of the inning in the seventh. I mean, Jason Alexander was terrific against a good lineup. I mean, really good. This is not a joke. Jason Alexander's developed into, at this point he's the second best pitcher on the roster, and it's not a joke. It's all in the numbers.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm a numbers guy.
You are a numbers guy, and it's a lot of fun. And Jordan continues, and Yiner, we got to give some love to Yiner. I mean, Caratini is hitting his ass off and left-handed. Caratini is a force, and you can't take Yiner out of this lineup.
Mm-mm.
You can't, because Yiner does what he did yesterday. He should have had two homers. He hit in right field. He hit one. There's a little box that comes up, and he hit that. Otherwise, anywhere else would have been over the wall. And then he crushed that one to win the game. I mean, and he's been doing this. I mean, Yiner, he still has that plate discipline problem, where he's swinging. You're just like, oh, Yiner, what are you thinking right there? What you thinking about, buddy?
Isn't it crazy? His OPS this year is just 709. It feels so much higher.
Well,
but he's not getting a lot of, like, I don't know. He started off really bad.
Yeah. I mean, and Caratini's 740, and he's on fire. So, but there's nobody. I mean, listen, Carlos got to get some love. Carlos hit one to center two nights ago. Mm-hmm. Carlos crushed one to left last night. Just awesome. He and Jordan just continued. Jordan is the best hitter in baseball. Jordan is, you can have Judge. I'll take Jordan.
Well, since
he's been back, it's not even close.
Yeah, it's just always you have to say things like, since Jordan's back, since Jordan returned, when Jordan's coming back, you always have to say things
well,
like
but
that.
Guess what? This month, 1324 OPS.
The big difference between those
last
two guys.
Last month, 1,000.
Aaron Judge usually just stays. That's the big difference. When Jordan's hot, nobody in baseball would rather have than Jordan.
Yeah.
When he gets on one. But then he can fall off. I think that's the big difference. That's what separates him from Judge, unfortunately, is it? Jordan goes through patches where it's just not great for him.
Look at Judge's postseason. He goes on lulls, too.
Yeah, no, he does. But for the most part, Aaron Judge, there's a reason he's, like, in the mix for MVP literally every single year.
There is nobody.
And he hits 50 home runs a year.
Nobody I'd rather have at the plate right now in all of baseball than Jordan.
Not right now. No, not when right. Jordan's on one, you ride Jordan.
He's had one hitless game since, his last 10 games, he's had one game where he didn't get a hit.
No, that's not true. He didn't get a hit against the Rangers in two of the three games.
Yeah, two, four,
he didn't get one against the Angels.
Eight,
so.
10. Two
seven,
out of 10.
7 of the last 10.
No, 7, 8, 8 of the last 10.
Yeah. I was looking at doubles.
8 of the last 10.
Yeah, you're right.
Fine. And he said, and he's had 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, 2. He's only had one game with a single hit. Otherwise, he's got multi-hit games.
And now that's the crazy thing is it's all multi-hit games. Working backwards, 2 hits, 3 hits, 0, 3, 0, 4, 4, 2, 1, 2. I mean, it started on August 30th, and it's been a reign of terror since then. He was hitting .216 with an OPS of .691. Actually, going into August 30th, he was .206 with an OPS of .681. He currently, and that's August 29th, is that was headed into the August 30th game. August 30th wasn't that long ago.
No.
He's now hitting .289 with an OPS of .838. He's raised his OPS. He's raised his OPS up 170 points, and his batting average has gone up by 73 points. I mean, it's his slugging percentage went from .355 to .456.
And he has not had a game since he's been back that he hasn't been on base. Not one game.
And his strikeout numbers are low. During that same time frame we're talking about, only 6 strikeouts. Only 6 strikeouts in 42 at-bats.
Yeah.
I mean, and walks, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, same amount of walks.
Feels like
he's walked more than that.
49 at-bats, he's had 6 strikeouts.
Wow.
Incredible.
49.
Yep, incredible.
That's 1 out of every 8. I mean, it's good. It's good. It's boy, was it critical. Holy crap. Can you imagine? I feel bad for Jason Alexander because he was
brilliant. I know, he didn't get the win.
But can you imagine the fact that that had you lost that game because your bullpen screwed it up, what that does to you mentally? That was such a good win. To lose 2 games in a row like that, oh my gosh, devastating. But yep. You didn't. Yiner came through, and Abreu had a really good, you know, Abreu did his job.
Yeah.
Oakland, Mariner, not so much.
Yeah.
De Los Santos was in a tough spot, not so much.
Mariners walked it off last night in the 13th with a home run.
I mean, you're tied with the Mariners if you didn't.
Yep.
If Yiner doesn't bail you out, and if Abreu doesn't do his job.
They've won 5 in a row. The Rangers have won 4 in a row, and you got a 1-game lead still. They
Who's
walked
won
it
five
off in
the
13th
inning.
Oh,
the Rangers won 4 in a row now. Wow.
Yeah. And Mariners 5.
I mean, you got to quell that. When they come in, you got to throw water on them.
Rangers have picked up 3 games in the last 10. They're 2.5 back. So, it's on. You got today, an afternoon game today. You got Javier against Gausman. And then you don't know who you're throwing against the Braves in the first game. And then you got, there's 15 games left after today. 15 games left. And it's on. It is on. So it ain't going to be easy because the way that you've played, the way that the bullpen, the way that you've gone dead at the plate at times. But this lineup seems to be coming together, and we'll find out whether or not how clutch this iteration of the Houston Astros. See if they've got what the DNA from the last decade down the stretch here.
What's wrong with? I'm trying to. I can't remember. I don't know if I saw it. What was wrong with Nathan Eovaldi?
Oh, he's done.
Is he done for the year?
Yeah.
Spin rate got him.
Yeah. They've lost.
Golly, that's so. Can you imagine DeGrom and Eovaldi? Just that was a nightmare, but now Eovaldi's done. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't realize he was done.
Yeah, he's been done for a little while now. They're tough. There's no question about it. They've had their injuries as well. They've had a lot of stuff going. But everybody does. But nobody's had it as bad as Joe and our Astros. Okay, still 12 games over .500. Going to have to play unless they play unbelievable baseball down the stretch. They're going to have to play in that wild card once again. And that's not
ideal.
That's not pleasurable. The Astros will have to play Looks like they're going to have to play the Yankees. Right now, we'll see how it winds up down the stretch, but it looks like the Yankees or Red Sox in two games at Daikin. We'll find out whether or not we'll see how that all works out. But it is looking it's going to be fun down the stretch.
Yeah, and you can't make me mad. No one can make me mad today.
Make you mad today.
Nope, I'm in a much better mood.
What happened?
I was mad the whole day. My wife caught it. What's your problem? And I was just like, I don't know. I'm just really mad.
No.
I was mad about Luis Garcia. I'm just unusually mad. I'm irritable today. Just keep that. You know, when somebody's like that, you should leave them alone. And you guys wouldn't leave me alone.
Yeah, nobody would leave you alone. That
no
sucks.
One would leave me alone.
So you didn't want to do the show? Because how do we leave you alone when you're on a show?
I just don't mess with me.
We didn't mess with you. Well,
people
John
mess
did.
With me. Callers mess with me.
I didn't mess with you.
I didn't mess with him.
John didn't really even mess with me. Callers mess with me.
He tried to prompt people to mess
with
you.
One guy tried to mess with me, but I wasn't listening because my headphones were off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did try to bait you.
He failed miserably.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. It was fun.
Wasn't fun.
To me. One man's fun. Let's break. Let's talk a little John Daspit. And if you guys want to get in, 713-780-3776. We've got Josh Pate today. We got a little Josh Pate going on today. We're going to hear from Eddie Nunez. Those of you that are University of Houston fans, the new athletic director, relatively new athletic director, we'll talk to him about what's going on at the University of Houston. But man, things are up. How about walking into one of the best programs in all of college basketball and a football program on the rise? That's not too bad.
Great recruiting class.
Recruiting classes, great facilities now. I mean,
do you believe now?
Yeah. That ain't a bad. Well, we'll find out.
You can take all the credit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You get the credit for it, baby. Time to talk about John Daspit, and he wants to help you out.
Yeah, John Daspit wants to help you, and he will help you. Go to DaspitLaw.com. That's the website. Click practice areas, and you'll see. Whenever I talk about roadway, you know, accidents on the roadway, he sees a lot of those. He sees them at refineries. He does a lot of work with people along the dirty third coast when he's doing, you know, there's offshore accidents, there's refinery accidents. Those can be pretty serious. And so you need someone on your side to make sure that you get the proper settlement for injuries and time missed from work and your pain and suffering. But there's also property contamination, commercial litigation, negligence, wrongful death, work injury, workers' comp, truck accidents, product liability, premises liability. There's a lot of different things that fall into it. I have a friend of mine whose wife, actually a listener, longtime listener, whose wife ended up having an issue, a bad issue in childbirth, and he's very upset about it. I said, look, call John Daspit. It's easy. 713, call now. Get a free consultation. They'll take a look at your case and tell you if you have a case, and they can handle it from there. You can start the process by chatting online if you want to. If you just want to, you know, just do the minimum, just go to DaspitLaw.com, click on chat online in the bottom, chat live in the bottom right, and you can start the process. But one phone call, and they can start talking to you, and they'll let you know whether or not it's something they can help you with. And if they can help you, you're going to have warriors on your side, because they do not quit until they win. And that's the way it works with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Go to DaspitLaw.com or call 713-CALL-NOW.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm looking at the Texans in week one, their grades. Did you see the grades?
Well, from who?
Did you see D'Amico talking about Nick Chubb?
Yeah, and I kind of thought that might be the case. He said, I like Nick Chubb. We're going more Chubb. We're going to bust Chubbs all over the place.
Wow.
We're going to try to bust open the Chubbs. Chubb.
Not the Chubb.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Is what he said.
What's wrong
with
you?
And they hope to pop one into the...
Stop it. What's wrong with
you? They hope to pop one into the open field.
Stop. You're just doing that thing because that woman did a compilation of all the things that sounds sexual when you talk about football.
Can we play that on the air?
I don't know that we should.
I don't know that we can play it on the air. And here's the thing. Yeah. It was all set on actual NFL games.
Yes.
I don't know if I sent it to John. Said, I don't think
I've seen it. I've seen it. It's no,
you're
I don't.
Trying to
here's the thing. It was all said during games.
Right, right,
sure,
right.
But
and
you're trying to titillate.
And it's all put together in one thing. And I'm like, I just don't. Can we play this?
I don't know that we should. It's you're trying to titillate people. Is what you're trying.
You
to
are.
Do.
You really are.
I'm not trying to.
Let's be mature.
No, they're trying
here.
To. They're trying to bust.
Stop.
Chubb into the open field. That's
well,
true.
I like how he slid through a lot the holes. He was what? It was.
Children.
That's not
just
what,
actual
not
children who work here.
He did. He, you know, when
he actually the, didn't.
He didn't really. Actually.
He actually
he did.
Didn't.
Actually, he averaged 4 yards a carry, which is incredible.
Well, he's getting more. He's going to get more of the carries. It sounds like
he's going to get more of the carries. And you know what? He didn't. He didn't look bad, but he was. It wasn't great. It was just meh for the most part. I mean, it's not like the running game was able to. Oh, it opened everything up. There was a lot of play action. But I'm not sure. And maybe it froze the linebackers for a second, but it's not like, well, that just opened. Oh, well, that opened the whole middle for everybody. No. It sure did for the Rams. I don't know. But they've got Puka. Puka's special. Puka is really special.
It doesn't make any sense how good Puka is.
It really doesn't.
And I'm like, what is this? Why is Puka doing? Like, I still don't understand how Puka's this damn good. But that's what happens when you have somebody who's strong, competitive, and skilled. That's what happens. I mean, Cooper Kupp didn't make sense when he was going well. Now, he didn't have a long run, but when Cooper Kupp was going well, it was the same thing as Puka Nacua. The same exact thing.
You know, I don't know. These grades, they gave Chubb a 63.9, which is, you know, it's
okay,
good.
So this is the PFF grades.
The PFF grades.
Yeah, running back grades are tough.
CJ got a 73.1. He got a green. So there's red and there's green next to players. The worst grade. The
darker the green, the better.
Darker the green. And Stingley was the graded out worst, the worst on the team. That hip thing, I think, really affected him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were some plays. There was a play up the sideline. It's against Devontae. It was against Devontae Adams that it didn't look like he was able to turn, and he was able to make the play. I think that hip really, really affected Derek Stingley in week one. Hopefully, that's not going to be a lingering thing for the whole season. Man, watching him go down in like the third play was like, oh, my God.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
I'm just glad he didn't come up with
as, 400. Especially when you start the game. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson is in the slot. And I'm like, what? This is what? This is the guy that we want covering?
Wait a minute.
Puka?
Yes. What? You want him or Petrie?
I would like another real cornerback.
We don't have another real cornerback. What are you talking about? There's not another real cornerback.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's something you need.
Well, that's too bad. I'll see
you
next year in the
bad?
Draft.
So sad.
I'll see you
are
in the draft next
me?
Year.
No. That's, I mean,
everyone wants another. Did you know that there's a big brouhaha about the offensive line that was put out by the Texans? Did you know this is a big fight on Twitter?
A big fight on Twitter, really? What?
No,
what
I mean, Texans fans are furious. A portion of them
what,
that
they,
the Texans
the
put Cam
that
Robinson, that the Texans put Cam Robinson at left tackle, and then moved Titus Howard and moved Arian Tierisri. They were there was people who were furious, like the Texans had all this continuity. And chemistry in preseason, which they didn't. Those guys barely played together, barely had any snaps. So that's not true. Continuity is when you play multiple snaps, go through multiple negative plays, and you understand how the guy next to you plays. The only way you get that is playing pro football and many games together. That's when you develop continuity. But the idea was Ursary had to move from left to right where he didn't even know how to play. He can barely even move. He can barely even.
What?
He almost fell to the ground several times because he didn't know how to move his feet because he's on the right. That's hyperbole. I get it. But he played right and left throughout camp.
Yeah.
He was playing both sides throughout camp. Titus Howard was a starter on the offensive line at guard in two of the last three years. Cam Robinson has been a starter, multiple game starter, multiple season starter at left tackle. The idea that Jarrett Patterson or Juice Scruggs at guard. And then keeping Cam out and keeping the other tackles there. Yeah, it would have helped your tackles, but it wouldn't have helped your interior. Your interior would have been much worse. they got what they believe their best five offensive linemen on the field, including three tackles, against a defensive front that is really talented, especially on the interior. Kobe Turner, Puna Ford, and Braden Fisk are problems.
Byron Young was a – well, the interior you're talking about. But Young was a beast.
Well, yeah. Well, this is the problem is had – I think Young the problem was you were not finishing blocks. This included at times Ursary, but mostly Cam and the tight ends. You got to stay connected to those blocks in the run game because they were just letting Verse and Young just get off those blocks quick and make tackles. And there were run plays, if they would have stuck to their blocks, where you would have had more yards, but they didn't finish their blocks. And now you got Harrison Bryant is in for they brought him up in place of Stover. So Stover's out. Harrison Bryant is in. Bryant is a hard-playing guy, but he's not as big as Stover. So I don't know that the blocking's going to – be helped at all. We know – I will say, I thought Dalton Schultz tried harder as a blocker the other day. He's limited, but I actually saw him try harder on some of those inside the split zone where they run an inside zone and they bring the tight end across to go cut the or to go block the defensive end. I actually saw him, you know, give some effort on that. He's just not very good.
Oh, that's nice. Aw, that's nice.
You won't take effort? I'll take effort. Great. That's great. What are you asking for?
So CJ graded out best on offense. And you know what? They scored zero touchdowns. But you know what? He made some plays. He kept them out. He also took some sacks holding on to the football a couple of times. But and then retreating once that was just a killer. Actually, twice that was just a killer. But CJ played pretty well. I mean, for a guy that had zero touchdowns, he escaped some stuff that was just ridiculous early on in the game. He rolled left, threw along the sideline, and got a first down when he should have been sacked. There were plays like that he actually played pretty good. I would say, okay, because you know what? I didn't see what Nico Collins is one of the best receivers in the NFL. Well, I didn't see that on Sunday. I saw Justin Watson looking pretty damn good. I was like, that's weird.
Well, did you see what D'Amico said? They're getting the ball. I mean, if you got Nico Collins on your fantasy team, which I do on one of mine on the ESPN fantasy team, well, I started off
well,
one
they
were, on both.
They already said send him to the bench.
Okay, so. Send who to the bench?
The experts are saying Nico Collins. Nico.
Oh, they're yeah, they're
don't,
they've
don't
got,
start.
They've
don't
got start. They couldn't be more wrong.
No,
I said this the other day, and I had Field Yates reach out and text. He goes, "Please tell me you're right about Nico Collins getting a bunch of targets." I said, "Here's a clip from what the coach said in his press conference. This dude's about to get a ton of targets, and it'll start early in the game. It'll be hitches." It'll be slants. It'll be whatever it needs to be, but the ball is getting in 12's hands. I promise you. He will see at least 10 targets in the game.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the defense on the other side. There's some thoughts. We got to break it. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. But I'll tell you what, before we go to break, it's 531. Let's say exactly 540. Who wants to play
740?
540. It's 5:40 here. It's 7:40. Who wants to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy tomorrow at 9:30? You have to be available at 9:30. You have to know your football. You get to pick five NFL games. He picks five NFL games. He was pretty good last week. They were both 4-1. You got to beat the Warehouse Live Guy. And thank God he beat the Gravedigger, who's a Cowboy fan. He beat the Gravedigger, which ain't easy. You got to have a monster truck to beat the Gravedigger, and Justin did that. But he'll send you to a game with four tickets and a limo ride there and back if you can beat him. But he couldn't be beat last week. So who wants to play him tomorrow at 9:30? At exactly 5:40, let's call in, and caller number four is going to get to play the Warehouse Live Guy.
And today,
at 7:40 today,
I'm going to give people a chance in the 8 o'clock hour.
Hmm?
To win the $50 gift card from Taqueria Serrano's. All you got to do is pick either the point spread or the over-under correctly
what
in
happened?
Tonight's game. If you win, you get $50 from Taqueria Sarandos, a gift card. If you lose,
Larry lost last week.
You get nothing if you lose.
Nothing. All right. Let's talk a little underdog. Let's talk about the Texans defense on the other side. And let's talk a little underdog fantasy right now.
Underdog fantasy, I mean, it's game time today. We're already back at it. Week two of the NFL season starts today. And you got the game jumping off tonight. And you've got Washington versus Green Bay. It's on Amazon Prime. And I'm looking at some of the numbers here on underdog fantasy. Josh Jacobs to score a touchdown, 0.5, higher or lower. Debo Samuel, receiving yards, 54.5. You know, here's the thing. I didn't see a lot of Terry McLaurin the other day. I think Terry McLaurin's going to get going with this game. I think there's I think there's pretty good matchups for him on the against the cornerbacks at Green Bay. So I'm going to look higher. I'm going to go take a look at, oh, here he is, 55.5 receiving yards. I'm going higher with Terry McLaurin. So you just click a little higher there. Ja'Cory Croskey-Merritt, the running back, they call him Bill. I'll call him Bill. I'll go higher on him. I think he's going to have some yardage in this one. And then Micah Parsons, sack, 0.5. I'm staying away. Jaden Daniels is too elusive. But then I'm going to go Marcus Golden. I'm going to go lower. Nope, I'm going to go higher on receiving yards. 38.5 for Croft. There it is. I made three picks. Now I get to decide if I'm going to play them on the statistics standard, which pays off more, or the flex, which pays less, but I only have to win two out of three. You see how easy it is? And it's that simple, and I'm done. Download the app. Use promo code Lance on your first deposit or after you make your first deposit. Once you play $5 or more in Underdog Fantasy, they are going to give you $50 in bonus cash to use however you see fit. All you have to do is download that app and use promo code Lance. And you can even take a look at the ones I was telling you. Hire Terry McLaurin. Hire Croskey Merritt. Hire Tucker Kraft. I'm going three higher. I'm looking for a higher scoring game. So I'm going to take that knowledge and that opinion and utilize it at Underdog Fantasy. Watch the games, play along with them, win big money with Underdog Fantasy. All you do is download the app and get started today.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I'm looking at Dan Orlovsky breaking down. Here's what the Rams offense dictated the terms. That's how they made big plays by versus an elite Texans defense. They used two tight end sets to force the Texans into heavier personnel and get Puka Devontae easier looks from the slot. You know, that's not untrue. I mean, when you see the snaps that Al-Shaair and Toa Toa and Christian Harris played.
How many snaps they played?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. They were on the field. The Texans started with a base defense with just four DBs and two of them safeties. They had two corners on the field a lot, most the whole game, actually. And one of them was Stingley, who was banged up a little bit. The Pro Football Focus, who do you think played the best defensively? Off the top of your head, who do you feel like played the best?
Let's see. Because I'm trying to think of how they grade. So they probably have it like Fatukasi or Toto was pretty good, I thought.
Will Anderson Jr. had four solo tackles, three tackles for loss.
That was I just couldn't go with that. I figured this is a set.
No, well, he's their best player.
Yeah.
I was going to text you guys. When Danielle Hunter made a tackle semi late in the game, it was in the fourth quarter. I was like, "Wow, hey, Danielle Hunter is playing today." He actually had one tackle, no pass rush, no quarterback hurries, no quarterback hits, no Danielle Hunter, and he graded out with an 86. I was going to ask you guys, and we've got a text between the four of us. I was going to say, did Neil Hunter playing today or not? Because I haven't seen him. I really haven't seen anything.
So on
the big drive where Al-Shaair knocked the ball out, most of that drive, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter were not on the field. They were not on the field.
Interesting.
Yeah. And if they score there, the game is over.
Was it Taylor and Barnett?
Yeah.
Or no, Dylan Horn was in the game too.
It was, yeah. It was Taylor and
it might have been Dylan Horton.
I was like, where are the guys that are on the most important drive of the game? Because you don't stop them, it's over. It's over. Field goal still puts it to 8.
Supposedly what was one of the discussions when he first came over was that Denico Autry was going to potentially play early downs at DN, and then Hunter would come in on, you know, whenever it was heavy downs, it was going to be heavy personnel. It would be Autry on the end, and then Autry would reduce down and rush from inside. He was suspended to start the year off, and it never really materialized. But I heard that was one of the things that had been discussed last year was, you know, because Autry's so big and physical, he's a more physical run stopper. And so you'd have three big physical guys. Well, really, you'd have four, including Will Anderson. But you'd be much more big and physical up front, and then you unleash Hunter on, you know, second and third downs, which actually might not be a bad idea when Autry's healthy and okay to play.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if I'm attacking the Texans, I'm attacking reverse. I'm throwing on first, you know, because they've got the personnel in there. And if you put two tight ends in there, they're going to have two guys. I'm sorry. We saw Al Shaier last year in pass coverage.
I'm not buying it with him. But I will say something that Orlovsky talked about, it's very important, that I don't think gets mentioned enough for football fans to hear, is that you can have an influence on the defense just by your personnel groupings, just by being able to be multiple, where you have three wide receiver sets, you have two running back sets, you have two tight end sets. You can force them to put certain people on the field because they have to match your personnel. The Texans can't stand base defense against three wide receiver sets. You typically can't do it unless you have a special, special linebacker. So, you know, the Texans want to go into nickel. That's what they want to be, is a nickel. And the Rams basically said, nah, we're going to make you play big, and then we're going to throw at you from our big set. We're going to influence what you do defensively with how we match you up personnel. Well, that's Nick Caley's job, too, is to mismatch personnel. Now, you have to have the right people on the field, and the Rams right now have better tight ends. Like, they have a variety of tight ends to throw at you. The Texans, you know, could do that, but I don't know if you're putting your best players on the field. I think the Texans' best players are going to be having three wide receivers out there, whether it's Kirk, Higgins, and Nico, or whether it's going to be Watson or Jalen Noel. It's going to be in Higgins and Nico. When they go three wide receivers, they just don't have, like, they can't really run two running back sets, a 21, as it's called. They can't run 12, which is one running back and two tight ends. They're not really dangerous like that. And that's why Ben Johnson was trying to find, you know, when he was at the Lions, he wanted to find certain players that would unlock what the Lions could do. This is what football is today. Finding guys who mismatch. It's about mismatching the other team. And sometimes if you have very diverse talents at tight end or running back, you can mismatch the other team. Or big wide receivers, you know, big slots, as we call them now. You get the Higgins in the slot at 200, you know, let's just say you had a guy who's two, Higgins isn't this big, but let's say you have a 220-pound wide receiver. It's 6'4". Man, throw that guy in a slot. And then you got to say, okay, well, you're going to have to travel, because if you have a small corner on you, we're going to wear you out with this big slot. And now all of a sudden the defense has to do something that they don't want to do. So you make teams do something they don't want to by your personnel groupings and your alignments. And I don't know if the Texans are really built to do that, because there's too many concerns with the offensive line and their tight ends aren't.
You know, that said, you know, you can scheme against them and, you know, too tight and keep, you know, Toa and El Shaier.
Yeah. Well, they still only got 14.
And score 14
yeah,
points.
Yeah, no, that's – and somebody on Twitch was saying, you know, can we stop with this Texans have a special – look, I don't think the defense is special, but it's good.
No.
They get sacks.
It's really good.
They get sacks, they get turnovers, and you don't score a lot of points on them.
Yeah,
and you
they can score say 14. You
right.
14.
You held the Rams to 14, two scores.
Yeah.
Out of,
I mean,
what,
so, yeah,
nine
they did
possessions,
pretty damn well.
10 possessions? Yeah.
The Texans had the ball longer than the Rams did, and not by much, but they did, a couple of minutes. The defense played just fine. They came up with a huge play when they had to. Al-Shaair getting the ball out with putting his head on the ball, and they gave the Texans a chance to win the football game until they blew it. So you know the defense they didn't grade out great. The three guys graded out really well: Anderson Jr., Hunter, and Al-Shaair, and the rest were just average at best, and some of them were below average, including Stingley. But they were pretty damn good. And oh, by the way, I want to give a big up. I couldn't believe it. Tommy Townsend, when they were backed up on their first drive and they fumbled and then they false start and they just looked like trash offensively in the first series, he's in his own end zone. I don't believe I've ever seen a punt as far as he kicked that ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just kept going and going and going. It was 61 yards. It looked like it was 80. It was awesome. He got them out of that hole to start the game. And he averaged 52, and his first was 61 yards.
Yeah.
So he boomed that.
You know,
he crushed
it. He's an Australian too, I believe. But I don't know if people realize the difference between college and pro punters. We know what the difference is in kickers and the pros make it from 55, 57, like it's just eating a piece of cake. It's no big deal to them. In college, it's a coin flipper from 38. But the pro punters have hang times of 5 seconds. They have they can kick it 50 plus on a regular basis. Like, a good punter is such a weapon in pro football these days.
All right, we got a break. I didn't mean to keep that going. Dell, who's our contestant?
Paul will be ready to go at 9:30.
Paul, better be ready at 9:30.
Paul.
And better bring your game, too, Paul. Because Justin, I'm just disgusted with him. He's been good lately. I hate that.
Who won this last week?
Justin.
He did? I thought it wasn't 3-2.
They tied. And you can't.
Tie goes to Justin?
You got to beat the Warehouse Live guy. You can't tie him. You got to beat him.
Who won the double banger?
I don't know.
If there's a double banger, that should be the winner. That should be the
wow.
Shouldn't it be the tiebreaker, a double banger?
Well, Justin would have won anyway. He won the double banger.
Okay, there we go.
There you have it.
Let's make it for now double banger's tiebreaker.
Beat the Warehouse Live game.
It's called
game.
Beat the Warehouse
well,
Live.
Well, yeah, but you can win that way. There's no one wins a division if
you
it's tied. You go to tiebreaker.
Okay, if you're tied after regulation,
Justin's not scared.
We had more passing yards than you did, so we win.
No, a double banger is the ultimate. There's lots of tiebreakers in baseball right at the end of the year.
No, there's
football.
Not. You play extra innings until one team scores more.
At the end of a year, then you have tiebreakers.
Well, we're talking about a game. So let's break.
Man of the people here. You don't want anybody to get tickets. That's sad.
Well, Justin is the one who he's giving away the tickets. So
he makes the rules.
Yeah, he makes the rules. Because that's come up before. He's like, no. It's called Beat the Warehouse Live.
Oh, he
not
did
tie
say
the
that?
Warehouse Live.
Yeah, we've had that talk.
Well,
he
won the double banger anyway, but double banger should be the tiebreaker.
Well,
if we make such a big
deal on the
air.
All right, you tell Justin that
we'll talk
tomorrow.
To Justin about it, okay.
Bang. hey, listen. Texas Card House is this weekend. I'm telling, not this weekend, but next, the 17th, you got a huge, huge day at Texas Card House. Okay? I think that's right. I think it's the 17th. Anyway, 11th, 12th. Actually, it would be tomorrow, 12th, 13th. Actually, it would be the 20th, wouldn't it? Anyway, regardless, huge day at Texas Card House, Saturday, where you are going to play for $100,000 at Green Ridge and Westheimer. You are going to play a $40,000 PLO at Spring Cypress and 45. You get the benefit of a huge, huge tournament thanks to the guys over there. It's pretty risky business when the Card House puts out there, we're giving away $100,000 in this one-day tournament. What? Are you kidding me? That is huge. Now, it takes a lot to win, but you can. Why don't you get in over there? Go to TexasCardHouse.com and see for yourself when, where, and how. And if you're somebody who loves to play, that's for you. Tomorrow at Green Ridge and Westheimer, you've got the senior event at noon. That always goes off. It's awesome. I play in that. So Monday through Thursday at Spring Cypress, you've got at 2 o'clock, you've got a $25 entry. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. Look, they just got so much fun. There's cash games going all the time, 24/7. wonderful facilities. I love Texas Card House. You'll love it, too. If you're looking for a place to play in the city of Houston, TexasCardHouse.com, TexasCardHouse.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, just to clarify the Texas Card House thing, it starts the 17th, Wednesday the 17th, but there are multiple first days. So, and yeah, and it goes all the way through Sunday. So it starts on Wednesday, 100,000 guaranteed. Same with the PLO up in Spring Cypress. Starts on the 17th, goes through the weekend, 40,000 guaranteed. It's a lot of fun. You play like the first day, and then you bag at the end, and then you go back for the weekend. It's fun. It's fun, fun, fun. Anyway, just to clarify, it starts on the 17th. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Our Astros won last night. If you're just joining us, we talked about it a bunch in the first segment. Love Jason Alexander, Yiner being clutch, Yordan is awesome. Carlos is, when he hits it, he hits it. He's got 6 homers as an Astro. He had 7 homers as a Twin this year. Mm. He's already got 6 as an Astro. That's pretty good.
I'll take what I've seen from Carlos. I'm fine with it.
Oh, I'm too. I'm thrilled with, you know, I hope he brings a little bit more leader.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.